Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk, delivered on Sunday, February 25th, 2024, is by Nancy Weiss on the topic of entropy.
Oh, good morning. When I was in a junior high school science class and the teacher told us about entropy, I was shocked. I thought that it was a devastatingly cynical idea, and I wanted it to be wrong. Well, entropy, of course, is a theory that any system tends to descend towards disorganization. Everything runs down, falls apart, and eventually stops. Disorder is the natural state of things. And only the expenditure of energy can keep things in an ordered and active state. In other words, chaos is normal. I'm older now and less optimistic, and I've concluded that the observable data to support this theory is incontrovertible. I've come to understand that entropy is not only a fact, but that it is out to get me. And as a person who's by nature organizationally challenged, I'm beset by it at every turn. Just try cleaning house. Even without animals and children, if I expend energy on cleaning the living room, the kitchen will be a mess. And by the time I finish cleaning that, the living room will have disordered itself. If you start weeding a garden, the first part you weeded will have grown new weeds before you get to the last row. If you work very hard at keeping the vegetable garden in order, the flower beds will be strangled and full of slugs. No matter how many repairs you make to a house, there will still be something broken. Has anyone here ever lived in a house that's in perfect repair? No. They don't do that. And no matter how microbiotic our diet and stringent our exercise routine, our bodies also always eventually wear out. You can't depend on things either. Every step you take rubs a tiny bit of the sole off your good old comfortable shoes until one day you step in a puddle and notice an uncomfortable wet spot behind your toes. Of the six setting dinnerware set my husband and I bought after our engagement, only three pieces remain. Our good old rototiller, bought to last a lifetime, is giving out, and so are our lifetimes. Balloons pop, and the doorways wear at sill. Nature is against us as well. Ants are determined to eat our houses. Frost buckles our foundations. Mice innocently destroy food, clothing, bedding, or anything else they come in contact with. Slugs may be slow, but slowly and secretively, they eat an astonishing amount of the garden. And what's more, every small disorder seems to build exponentially into larger ones. If you don't keep up with things, they tend to get out of control and sometimes descend into states of chaos beyond your ability to deal with them. Any small repair, ignored or not noticed, eventually will descend into unrepairability. Any room not in constant use gathers loose objects until you can't walk through it. The tiny cracks in the asphalt grow into potholes. Mountains slowly dissolve. It's like bailing an unrepairable boat. You can get almost all the water out, enough so that you can take a rest, but you can never completely stop. And you know all the time that the leak will outlast you. Permanence and perfection are not possible. If you spend your whole life trying to keep things in perfect order, you will spend your whole life doing that, and you won't succeed. Human beings want what they do to matter. We want the things we make and the things we do to last for centuries, and we think about that a lot. But just think of the amount of human energy that's devoted purely to resisting everyday entropy. The cleaning, the repairing, the protecting, the rebuilding, the organizing. In one way or another, it takes up the greatest part of what we do with our lives. Just think how many anti-entropy professions there are. There are the obvious ones, you know, the maintenance workers, the mechanics, roofers, conservators, dentists, librarians, and anyone who repairs anything. But there are also lawyers who try to preserve society by maintaining the rule of law, historians who try to keep us from repeating past mistakes, and teachers who try to preserve the continuity of civilization by indoctrinating chaos-preferring adolescents. But in spite of our efforts to preserve and protect the fruits of our labors, most things don't survive. Take art, for instance. I'm an artist, and I know there are several others here. Just consider the number of painters only in Western history, multiplied by the number of paintings each could produce in a lifetime. So I'm married to one painter, and we have a basement, a studio, and a large storage area all filled with them. When artists create, they usually try to make their creations last by using good quality materials and time-tested techniques. But paintings are delicate objects. Just think, in order for the Mona Lisa to have survived from the 16th century, all of these things had to have happened. The roof never leaked and the building never burned. In time of war, the painting was protected and stored in a safe place. It never went out of style enough so that somebody put it in a rummage sale. It probably never lived in a house with a 2-year-old. Conservators through the year lovingly repaired loose paint and cracks in the wooden backing. And it never got damp enough to get moldy or so dry that the wood warped. It was never stacked in a way that something rubbed against it or animals bothered it or someone stepped on it. And some individual in all of that time always liked it enough to act in the interests of its survival. So all of these conditions happen for relatively few paintings, which is why the old ones are rare. And we treasure these old ones for their beauty, but also for the rarity itself. Keeping them requires that there's enough infrastructure of civilization to allow resources to be spent on temperature and moisture-controlled storage and highly skilled caretakers. Almost nothing we do will last forever. And when you look at the really long view, human endeavor is probably utterly useless. But there are a couple of reasons why the temporary nature of our endeavors is not a bad thing. Or rather, although it seems like a bad thing and a frustration to us, it's not a bad thing for the universe. The first of these is that whatever we do that has a temporary entropy frustrating effect is a contribution to the collective foot dragging. And the second I'll get to in a minute. I still have a job one day a week working in the barn where my horse lives. When I started this job 30 years ago, I used to get up at 7:30 in the morning, let 25 horses in from the pasture, feed them, give them hay and water, and clean the tack rooms and go down the main aisle of the barn, tidying and putting things away, dusting and sweeping behind and under everything. I would begin working my way down the aisle as children were arriving and brushing their horses for the first lesson of the morning. And I usually finished about 5 minutes before the lesson ended, whereupon the horses and the children all tramped through trailing mud, dust, and loose pieces of equipment. Curiously enough, I found this very satisfying. And after over 20 years, the barn owner and I are both older and less energetic. There are fewer horses, and I mostly just do the sweeping and tidying part, but I still like doing it. What I do is no longer visible within a short time after I finish. But if I don't do it for a couple of weeks, the overall look of the place is noticeably more cluttered and run-down looking. This works for housework too, although I have not figured out why that is much less satisfying. This is only one barn, but it's a piece of something much larger, and it has a minute effect on maintaining the tradition of taking care of barns and animals in Vermont, which is a part of the American ideal of civilization, which, although it has flaws, is largely a good thing. The comforts of our civilization depend on enormous, continuous, voluntary, collective effort over long periods of time. It depends on people mending the hinge, sweeping the floor, paying the bills, picking up the trash, and taking care of stuff and each other. None of this is guaranteed to us. It is a gift to us from everyone laboring to keep things going. Maintaining a framework in which humans can survive in reasonable comfort requires enormous amounts of work, and no one person is capable of doing it alone or of keeping it up for very long. Our ability to live the lives we do depends not only on other people doing things to make it possible today, but also against those who have struggled against entropy in the past. We have apple orchards because some person planted them 10 to 40 years ago. We have democracy because people have written, worked, argued, and fought for it for several hundred years. And if we're able to keep it, we have to keep doing that. If we're good persons living good lives, we also want to make life good for others, including future others. And each of us can only do a small part. But when too many members of a society stop doing things, everything gets worse for everyone. But the second and probably the most important reason why the temporary nature of our endeavor is not a bad thing is that it's not a good thing for any one being to have too much influence on the planet. Every move we make contributes to entropy, even as we work against it. While we weed the garden, we're wearing out the knees of our genes. As we're beginning to see, if everyone makes permanent marks on the world, even small ones, the cumulative effect is damaging. Just think of the effects that plastics have made in 30 years or so. They're filling up the world, and they never rot. The World Without Us, a book I read from earlier, suggests the frightening image of a geological layer of fossilized Barbie and Ken dolls a million years hence. It's frightening to think that we may have a more lasting effect on the universe by what we do inadvertently than by what we do by a lifetime of conscious endeavor. Ephemerality is a requirement of the universe. All things should eventually run down and end. If they don't, they just will take up too much space. Just imagine all the paintings by all the artists in history, if they did survive, good ones, bad ones, large and small, where would we put them all? What if all the dead trees did not get destroyed by ants and rot away? What if people lived forever? And ephemerality is also always beautiful, is often also beautiful. When you think of true beauty, most of what we think of as beautiful is beautiful because of its fragility and its arrival at a moment of perfection before and after which it is more ordinary. Think of the beauty of a perfectly ripe tomato or a flower just this moment now fully in bloom, or a child, or a midsummer sunrise. These things feed our aesthetic soul because we know they are momentary, and we treasure them because we don't have them at their peak all the time. Have you noticed how snow in April is less beautiful than snow in December? And nevertheless, we fear, hate, and struggle against our own ephemerality. We cannot truly conceive of our own end, but for good or evil, it's what we have. And so we need to do whatever we can to make our own short time the best we can make it. But dying and giving away to new generations is so necessary to the world that there can't be any exceptions, even for those we cherish most. It's just too important. So the fact that all we do is temporary should not be a cause for despair. The small, ineffectual, temporary things you do are important to the world. It's part of a monumental joint effort. It does truly make a difference for each of us to do what we can. It's also important to absolve ourselves from doing all of it. Random acts of kindness and senseless beauty are vaccines against entropy. So are the many small things we do that preserve continuity in our families and societies and the world. Tell your grandchildren or any children the stories your grandmother told you. Mend something so that it'll last a little bit longer. Be mindful of the long-term consequences of living as gently as you can. Vote. We just need to be thoughtful enough so that our actions bail more water out of the boat than we splash in. Perhaps this is what faith is for those of us who are not sure of God. We trust that what we do will matter in the end. Thank you.